Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. I'm Christian Warren. Alongside me is Kevin Tinkin.
Kevin Tinkin.
Jane Fancy Lady Fawcett.
Hello.
And the one who thinks I ignore her, Sarah Wells.
I would like for the listeners to affirm me in this, that sometimes I say things and Christian just plows right through. He doesn't
acknowledge it. How's your day going?
See, Great, just like that.
See, that's what you do.
I completely disagree with what everything you guys are saying. And honestly, I think you guys, you're taking it way too far of an offense.
Christian, it is 3-1 in this moment.
Let's let the audience decide, because I disagree. Right. You talk, I listen. I'm not the kind of guy that goes, yeah. Totally. That's good.
We had an episode
that is good stuff.
All right.
That is good stuff.
I'm just going to call you Steamroller from now.
All right. Next, we're moving on.
Bulldoze.
All right. Well, on this week's episode, we got some fun stuff. We're talking about this week's sermon, 1 Corinthians 5, basically 2 to the end of chapter 5. We're also going to be interviewing our Fig Garden facilities manager, Jordan Ho, talking about who we would want to be stuck on a deserted island with, and some news. So, stay tuned for a good episode. On this week's episode for music, we got a band called Fee, or Steve Fee. He's a worship artist. Pretty good. I was listening to him.
Wow.
All right, so stay tuned for that. We got a fun episode. And just listen to how I don't ignore Sarah the rest of the episode.
No, listen to how he ignores Sarah.
But now he's going to ignore Kevin and Jane because he's going to be paying attention to my words.
All right, up next, we've got a sermon discussion. Stay tuned.
You've got cancer and you don't even know it. Should I let you know or not? Should I inform you or not? What if you knew or were suspicious and had the opportunity to give them a heads up? And you know, if I tell them, they might be able to fight it. But if I don't tell them, it's going to eat them up. Do you say anything? We all have spiritual blind spots, all of us. There's things we don't see. There's issues we're not aware of. There's secret things we are trying to hide. Here's the thing you need to know about sexual immorality. It's like a corpse in the closet. It will not stay hidden. It will begin to wreak and impact all of your life. Paul tells Timothy that the sins of some men are evident, going before them to judgment. Sins of others follow after. Likewise, also good deeds are quite evident, and those, he says, which are otherwise can't be concealed. We get very good at hiding, very good at stuffing corpses, very good at pretending we don't have cancer. But you can't pretend you don't have cancer for long. It begins to show. There are physical signs that it comes out. You can't deny it forever. You can't deny sexual immorality in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ forever. It will start to show itself. But sometimes what happens is people have it, but don't know it, and then others see it and wonder, I wonder if they notice that. And then they have that awkward question of, do I say something or do I not? Do I speak the truth in love or do I not?
That was a clip from the sermon from this past Sunday, and really, I would say that really sums up the thesis of the whole sermon. Is it's really, Paul is explaining in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and 2a, basically, about some sexual immorality going on within the church. And then he basically goes into, how do I approach the people in the church that are are falling into this sexual immorality sin. And basically the question is, should I or should I not even approach them? And if they are a follower of Christ, Brad's answer, of course, was yes you do. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to, you know, obviously we had a great discussion last week, continue on in the discussion of that. But just to clarify for my sake, Brad kind of went to the point of saying like, okay, yes, you should confront them. But then this is if they respond and say like, okay, like I will comply to what you're asking. And the next week is like, what happens if they say no, correct?
No, next week someone outside the church.
Yeah, but what happens if I'm confronting you, Jane, with your issues and you say, I totally disagree with you, I don't have that issue.
Like with Sarah bringing this issue to me about
me blocking her on the air, and I go, mm-hmm. I totally disagree with you.
Well, then I brought another friend with me, Jane and Kevin, and they also supported me in my confrontation of you.
Okay. And if you still don't own up,
then we're putting you on stage. But I think what Brad was talking about is if I'm going to confront someone and it's a black and white sin issue, mm-hmm. And they say, no, I don't agree with you, then you bring someone with you. And then you go, if they still don't agree, then you go.
And so that's what next week's going to talk about.
No, next week is how to confront those that are outside of the church. That's what Jane just said.
I cut you off. So.
Oh, hey, patterns.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah, that was basically this week of just really laying that foundation of, do you have the conversation mm-hmm. at all?
And how too.
And I love the intro with the cancer part. I wanted to put that in the clip because I feel like that was a great tie. And this is, I mean, yes, cancer is something that we look at it and we go, yeah, that's something deadly. That will kill you. Why would I not tell you you have cancer if mm-hmm. I know about it before you do? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. You have a major, let's just say, porn issue. And I knew about it. And it's like, that is going to ruin your life. Mm-hmm. I should tell you about that. But we in the church, most often than not, avoid that at all costs. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, because it is like a cancer. A sin issue is like a cancer.
Yeah.
It's a hard conversation to have. And one of the things he was saying when he made the analogy, if you could see somebody has cancer, you know, then they could fight against it. But I thought too, like, you know, as the analogy goes, if you tell somebody that they have cancer and they don't have cancer, like, especially if you're catching it early, mm-hmm. I'm just literally talking about cancer. You've got to go. I mean, it's going to change your life. You've got to go through chemotherapy. You've got to do this stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. not everything. I'm not a cancer doctor or anything, but your life is going to change significantly. So, you know, and then you think
if you choose to do nothing, then it's all downhill from there.
Right.
So same goes with the sin.
Right. And I was thinking, like, there's no situation, I don't think, where I would not tell somebody they have cancer. But then I thought sin, okay, that's different. You know, I would say, well, it's none of my business or blah, blah, blah. And I think to compare it to saying you can see if somebody has cancer is to really just say, no, like, it is a big deal. Like, you need to feel the same way you feel about that as you would as if you see sin issues.
Totally. And I think that this sin issue, yes, Paul was specific about talking about sexual immorality, but I think it goes as far as all sin issues in your life.
And
it's not just if your friend's dealing with other issues outside of sexual immorality, it should be something that you do confront them.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever done this, confronted somebody in their sin? And obviously we don't want to share names and whatnot, but the times that I've done it, I've had successful and I've had some not so successful times at mm-hmm. it. And it's just like, it's a really nerve-wracking thing. And when your batting average is less than 500, you don't want to do it again. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But as scripture goes, and Paul talks about for a good chunk of 1 Corinthians 5, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, you got to do it. So yeah.
I think I struggle with, like, how do you have a conversation without it sounding like I have it all figured out and you need to too, you know? Because that's where I struggle, where I'll see, like, oh, I feel like I should talk to that person about this. I don't even know what I would say because I've struggled with it, or, you know, whatever. Like, I don't feel like I have the right, but I know we always have the right to call cancer out, but how do you do it well, I guess?
I think that's a thing where, like, I look at it and I think, if I were in a relationship with somebody where, like, that's what we did, we, like, continually was like, Sarah, like, I see this in you, Jane, I see this in you. And that was like not just like a once a quarter thing, like checkup review sort of thing, but it was like call it out as it comes so that it's not you're not bombarding them with this thing where it's like, what the heck? Like, I'm prideful or what the heck? Like,
oh, I've been feeling like this for 6 months and I'm just now saying it.
So I like think you're right. It is as much of a sucky situation as it is to like put a friend on blast and just say like their downfalls and stuff. Like if that was a constant part of our relationship, then it's not such a difficult thing.
And you're talking in the context of you being friends with this person, but what about somebody who has no community within the church, but they are a follower of Christ? And typically most people struggling with serious sexual immorality issues, they're drawing themselves away from people because they know that the closer they get in community, the closer they get to people, things are going to start to be exposed.
Yeah.
So, but if you're claiming to be a Christian, it's like, and you see this issue, you just even if your friends are not, do you still call it out?
Well, Brad talked about that yesterday and said yes, because like you have that point where you're like, oh, I'm not close enough friends with Christian for me to say this, but I'm your sister in Christ, so it's my obligation to say it to you.
Right.
And like it's easy for me to answer that question, yes, that's what you're supposed to do. And it's a totally different thing for me to call someone that I barely know out on something, even a close friend. Like that gets awkward because you think like they're going to hate me. Like if I say this to Sarah, she's going to hate me and we're never going to be friends again. And like it's always going to be like that looming thing over our friendship.
What do you have to say, Jane?
Is that not your harmonizer inside of you?
It's completely my harmonizer. Then there's this other side where my persister's my next like points away from harmonizer, where I feel like, yes, I need to call this person out on it because it's the right thing to do and they're doing something wrong. But then it's like you worry so much about, are we going to be okay afterwards?
Can you think of a time, like I've thought of times where people have called me out on things and like in the moment I'm like, nuh-uh. Yeah. And then, you know, I go home and I'm by myself. I'm like, oh, they were totally right. Yeah. And then I'm so glad that they actually said something. And then, so I think through that, like, well, no, I'm always glad when someone says something to me. So I should be able to say this to whoever.
And Brad said something about that yesterday of when you respond that way, you're responding in complete pride.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
But it is just like your knee jerk reaction to like defend yourself. No, I don't have that problem. Mm-hmm. And then you sit and think about it and you totally have that problem. Mm-hmm. I totally have that problem, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing maybe we can touch on is Brad obviously mentioned the scripture in Matthew. It's like take the plank out of your eye, take the 2x4 out of your eye instead of pointing out the speck in somebody else's eye. But I think what we make the mistake of doing is always going, well, that plank is not out of my eye yet, so I can't go to that person. I think what Brad was really trying to get at was, as long as you're acknowledging you have this issue as well, and in your humility, you're coming to this person and saying, I have this issue as well. Let's walk through this together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like, look, the plank can still be in your eye and you can still confront. Yeah. So
he was very specific at the 11. I don't know how I was at the rest of the services, but he was saying,
we were both at the 11 at North. Yeah.
But he said, you know, if you're 2 days sober on porn and you know a buddy that's struggling with the same thing, go to him and be like, hey, I've been good for the last 2 days. I've been struggling, you know, and let's work on this together. I noticed this something you're doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And especially if you have an issue that you struggle with also, it's a lot easier to talk to somebody else about it. You know, if you guys are both, you know, shooting up heroin on the street corner and one of you stops and says, hey, man, I know we used to do this together yesterday. I've made a decision today to stop and I want you to stop too. You know, and I think as extreme as that example is, I think it paints a picture. You know, if you make a decision, I'm going to stop doing this in my life, you're removing the plank out of your eye. Now, if you put it back in the next day, that's something, you know, but.
Right. And I think it's more acknowledging that there is an issue with your life before you start pointing things out in other people. And I think that I would even argue that the plank is not necessarily the same issue as the speck. You know what I mean? If someone's looking at porn, but you have other sin issues in your life, I think that still gives you, you disagree?
No, I was just moving my hair.
Okay, so I just think that, let's say I have really strong anger issues or whatever, and Kevin's looking at porn and I know that Kevin's looking at porn, but and I go to him, do I need to remove the anger issue from me because I'm not struggling with the porn issue?
Well, like, I think Brad also said this yesterday. Like, if you're waiting for when you have no specks in your
exactly,
eye,
that's
no,
what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
You're never going to do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, we just need to feel this call to action a little bit.
Well, I think you do need to make sure that the same speck isn't in your eye. Because if I'm going getting drunk every weekend and then I say, hey, don't do that. Like, you just did it yesterday. But I think it's just the attitude of humility. Like, I struggle. I have issues too. I see this in you and I'd love to encourage you in it. You know, it's the humility factor.
That is your explanation. I completely agree with, but it's sometimes really difficult when you work with high school and junior high students, because a lot of it is us. And this, I mean, it's not, this is not a lot of it, but there's some aspects of student ministries where you're going like, hey, this is something you shouldn't do. You know what I mean? And it's less about I'm struggling with these now, but it's like, I did that when I was your guys' age, and I've now learned from the mistakes, and they go, well, you did it when you were my age. And it's like, well, you're missing the point, you know what I mean? Like, and so it's this weird dynamic where you're really trying to encourage him, but you're also sitting there going like, well, I kind of did those things too, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like the mom and dad who says, don't date in high school. Like, well, you guys met in high school.
Exactly.
Well, don't date. Well, it worked for you, you know, and the Christian's still around. He did all this stuff, and he still survived, so why can't I?
Well, you got to think about, you know, if it's sin issue stuff, you know.
Totally.
I think you have to address it, and I don't think there's – I don't, like I said last week, I don't think you're doing any favors by concealing who you are. Now, I mean, even – and it's – if you're talking to a crowd of people that it's over their head, you know, if I go to my 11-year-old nephew who thinks girls are gross and say, hey, man, don't look at porn, you know, it can consume your life. And he goes, what's porn?
Right.
And, you know, it's not going to make any sense. Or if I talk about, somebody shares a story about, you know, losing all their money to something crazy. I don't know. I want to get into extreme examples because I can. But if you're talking to somebody who that's just like, whoa. And I would say, like, shy away from it. But I think, like, if you're saying stuff up on stage to high school and junior high kids about stuff that you struggled with and you were that age, I don't know. I feel the same pressure.
I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's – what I'm saying is that I still think, despite maybe the mistakes you made in the past, it's like, no, you need to present the gospel and you need to present Christ. And it's like, it doesn't matter – what kids are going to say for excuses. It's just, or what your friends that we confront are going to say for excuses. It's like, no, confront them, tell them about the hope in Christ, and you can walk through this with them together. So.
And the point of you talking to high schoolers and saying, don't do this, this, and this, isn't so they can have a good and happy life with no issues.
No.
The point is because those things offend a holy God. And so, but I think in their mind, they think, well, you're taking the fun out of it. Like, no, this has nothing to do with that. God hates sin.
Totally.
Period.
And you can't communicate to a high school or junior high student the hurt that you went through in that process.
Yeah.
They just see you are still here.
Yeah.
So why not give it a shot?
Well, in my opinion, I think that what happens in high school and what happens in junior high is the starting point of this cancer that Brad's talking about.
Absolutely.
And it gets to the point where it is full-blown cancer by the time you're in your 20s and 30s, and you're like, oh, man, this is a serious issue that starts when you're in junior high. So
for sure.
I'm excited to continue these conversations over the next couple of weeks. We got 1 Corinthians 6, I believe, next week. These are – 1 Corinthians is fun. I'm enjoying these last couple of weeks. So if you've been listening to these last couple sermon discussions and you enjoy them, I know Jeremiah came to me and he said, that was a great sermon discussion last week. Tell other people to listen, because the point of the sermon discussion is to get some dialogue going when you're driving to work of going, what did I listen? I listened to that sermon on Sunday and I want to remember, but I also want to have a bit of like communication with other people. Obviously they're not talking to us, but the point of the sermon discussion is to continue to draw more out of the sermon. So tell your friends to listen to this segment. And up next, we got some news and some one and whys and whatnot. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just waiting for you to talk, Sarah, because, you know, I was just ignoring you.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome back. We are here.
I'm going to not speak in this segment.
Sarah, how's it going?
Wait. Did I ignore you at all at any moment during that last segment?
Oh, my gosh.
Right this second.
Christian.
What?
Are you serious right now?
I'm just wondering if I ignored you at all in the last segment.
Oh, I'm not. Gosh. None of that counted because you're doing it because I lovingly called you out on something and you chose to pridefully ignore it.
You're making a joke out of it.
Own it. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
I'm trying to develop healthy communication.
How about this? I will re-listen. You'll hear the Jordan interview next, and I will re-listen to that segment, and I will then
I think we need to keep this in. This, right now, it's recording, right, Dave?
Oh, God.
Let's leave it.
Okay, no, I meant to leave this segment.
Well, a lot of the time when it happens, I don't know if you could tell on the air, but it's like I'm into something, and you're just... And you turn and do the next thing like that. So you can't always see it.
You know?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, that's fine.
So what segment are we on right now?
Well, so we're
He's
going
to call me
doing,
after this.
One and
this
Wise here.
Sure
and
I'm
a quick note about the One and Wise is that Sarah and I, we chatted about this today. So Sarah, we're at least in agreement on this.
We are.
Okay.
We are.
Uh-huh. Something that I've noticed just especially with podcasts in general is that I listen to a podcast called Film Spotting, and there's, you know, well over thousands of listeners on the show. 8,000 to 9,000 listeners listen to the show regularly each week, but probably only 15 to 20 people email, call, Facebook into the show. And it's just like, and they have plenty of opportunities to do that, but they don't get many emails in. And so I would say the same goes for us. I feel like there's a lot of listeners out there, but we don't get as many people emailing in, whether that be because our One and Whys aren't good or we don't have any real reason for them to email in. And so my thought was is that we can have fun during the segment and do One and Why things, but or we could do news and whatnot, but I just don't necessarily know if we're going to continue the One and Why and really go down that road of email in. If you want to email in with feedback or something funny, feel the freedom to. But
what if people want the One and Why and they write in and revolt?
If I get 12 people.
12, okay. Huh?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, we even called people to iTunes and we got 2 or 3.
Like a dozen donuts?
But I know there's more people listening.
I'll take a dozen donuts.
I want a donut.
So that's just that.
We gotta give this no sugar thing the boot.
We will end this week with our One and Why, which was our one person we'd like to have on a deserted island with us and why. So let's go around the block here. And since I started with my story last week and brought everybody to tears, why don't we have Kevin share his person he would like to be stuck on an island with?
I thought about this for a while because I thought, okay, if I'm stuck,
it's too hard.
I got to repopulate, you know. I'm just going to be my island. It's going to be the Isle of Tinkin. And so then I thought, I need my lady.
Okay.
You know. But then I thought, okay, if I'm stuck, but I want to get off.
Yeah.
Then I would need MacGyver.
You can't. You want MacGyver.
I would need a MacGyver type.
Do we want to set the rules here that you, when you're stuck on an island... When you're stuck on an island, you get off in 3 years.
Okay.
3 years, sure. It's like you can get off. So
you don't have to worry about repopulating.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about repopulating. That's my point.
I don't think he's worrying about it.
All right. No, he would.
I wouldn't worry. It would be my pleasure.
All right, so still MacGyver, not MacGruber.
Not MacGruber. No, okay, so... Yeah, you would have to be the same type. I would either try to get off, or I'd want to spend time with Jenny. That'd just be awesome.
All right, fair enough.
Be like a 3-year vacation.
Yeah,
I'm gonna feel really bad when it comes to my answer, so maybe I should change it. All right, go for it, Jane.
Dang, Steve Colbert. Okay, you guys, this has been really hard for me. Like really hard, and I don't think I have an answer yet. Okay, these are the things that I've been thinking about. Okay, let me be honest. I haven't thought about it. So I really like sports, and part of me wants to take like Aaron Rodgers or Tim Tebow because that would be fun.
For 3 years?
Sure. I know. I had to throw a mean spiral.
All right.
But then that could be kind of boring because
What if they're jerks?
Yeah, what if they're weirdos? I'm reading Tim Tebow's book right now. He doesn't sound like much of a jerk.
Then you know him inside
out. Do you want us to come back to you?
Yeah, will you come back to
me? All right. Sarah, who would you be stuck on a deserted island with?
My fictional person answer is Sydney Bristow from Alias.
Okay.
Because she knows 11 different languages, first of all, so we can work on languages. She's really good at self-defense. She's going to teach me how to do all sorts of things.
Okay.
She's super in shape, so she can, like, train me in, like, good running and punching, things like that.
Yeah.
What else can she do? She seems like she has a good sense of humor, so I think we laugh a lot. And then she'd teach me how to be a really good spy.
So that is your fictional answer.
Yeah, and then I have real people answers, but
those aren't fun.
I'm not going to share those.
Well, I will share mine, and I genuinely thought about this for a good, probably a whole week. Like, who would I take? Would I take my wife? And I love my wife, but I love the feeling that there's somebody on the other side that I'm looking forward to getting to get back together with. And so I thought, would I be on an island with a celebrity? Well, that would be cool for a day, maybe 2 days. And then I thought, well, who would I want to be stuck on a deserted island with? And honestly, like, I really broke it down to who would I enjoy being on an island with for a long period of time, like, and have a good time with. And so it's not you, Kevin.
Damn.
But Kevin's over there like,
Right.
I would be stuck on an island with my buddy Taylor. And he was on the show a while ago, but I feel like he would make the time. He would be my Wilson. You know what I mean? Like, we would just have a good, we'd have a blast together. We would starve together. We'd probably get mad at each other. But, like, we would crack jokes all day long.
I'm going to eat your face when you die.
Can I give your buddy Taylor a message?
Yeah.
Hey, while you guys are on the island for 3 years, can he do a few more movie arguments, please? I'm stuck on October's episode.
All right, I will let him know, or he'll listen, so.
Yeah, hey, Taylor, work on it,
all right? All right, Jane, you got 10 seconds to come up with
your
person.
Oh, my gosh, you guys, this is so hard for me. Okay, honestly, maybe I'll say this.
Okay.
This is probably going to be really stupid to some people, but is it time by myself a lot. So if I could rewind time. I would take my cat, who is no longer living. I think I'd take her with me because she's my buddy. She was. She's dead now.
Really? You guys want to hear a cat joke?
No. Wait. Okay. This isn't fair, you guys.
I got a joke.
It's totally fair because I'm the one who didn't spend the time thinking about this.
It's all right. I got a joke, though. Okay?
Okay. I'm going to keep thinking about my person.
Little Nancy was in the garden filling a hole where her neighbor peered over the fence. Interested in what the youngster was up to, he politely asked, "What are you doing there, Nancy?" "My goldfish died," replied Nancy tearfully without looking up, "and I've just buried him." The neighbor was very concerned. "That is an awfully big hole for a goldfish, isn't it?" Nancy patted down the last heap of the dirt and replied, "That's because it's inside your freaking cat."
Oh.
Was that good delivery, Dave?
Great, Christian. Okay, I got my person.
You lost, Jane.
No, I got
Is it
my person.
Tom from Tom's Shoes?
No. No. Okay. Right.
Phoebe from Friends.
If it couldn't be Tim Tebow and if it couldn't be Aaron Rodgers, I would pick Jordana Siebert.
All right.
She loved that.
Because I feel like we'd have such great conversation our whole time. We'd get really good tans together. We're going to bring a lot of OPI nail polish and do our nails all the time. And
you don't get to choose what you're stuck on a deserted island with.
If there's sand, then our feet would be really exfoliated and we'll probably
there's
bring
no sand
like
on
all right, let's move
and
on
just
here.
Float in the water.
So
she would love that.
Kevin.
Yes.
You sports guy?
No.
Not at all.
I love sports.
Jane apparently
everything
loves
about it.
And I'll tell you why I don't
not
like
as
sports.
Much
yeah, tell us why.
I don't like sports because I have a hard time not being good at something that I'm doing.
Currently. Like you're not good at watching TV?
Well, like you don't have to be good at watching TV. But like if we were to go out and play, like I don't know. Like if we were to go out and play,
football.
Go curling. If we
okay,
were to go
curling
right now.
I want to do that.
Then I would like you would go out and you'd be like, "Oh yeah, I'm not going to be good at this." And there's going to be guys that do it every day and
right,
they're going to beat you. I wouldn't be okay with that. I'd be like, "This is bull crap that I'm not better than this guy."
You have a slightly competitive nature to you.
I have a huge competitive nature.
Do you enjoy watching sports?
Meh.
Well, the Super Bowl is coming up this weekend.
Super Bowl is coming up, Christian.
I enjoy Super Bowl parties because there's food.
Okay. Well, this is what I was going to chat about, is that the Super Bowl is coming up, and there's some news, obviously. It's the Patriots versus the Giants. There's some big news surrounding one of the Super Bowl ads. Have you heard about this?
No.
Ferris Bueller is returning for a Super Bowl ad.
Shut up.
And it's getting a lot of buzz on the intranet. But just as a – let's just – in here, let's make some bets here. Who says Giants? Who says Patriots?
I say Patriots.
Ready, go.
Patriots.
Patriots.
Patriots, I guess.
I'm going Giants. Now, because you guys are all going Patriots and you've already ganged up against me once during this episode, why don't we just, if Giants win, I don't hear any more about me interrupting Sarah.
No.
Wait. Okay, we're not ganging up on this. This was a loving confrontation. We're not being mean.
It would be more like this, Christian. It would be like, if the Giants win, then we have to like bring you something that you want. Like,
I'm not really invested into my choice.
Me neither. I just chose Patriots because they did.
I'll do it. I think the Patriots are going to win.
All right, what should the bet be?
Okay. Donuts.
I can't eat donuts.
Okay, what's the bet?
I'm not eating sugar.
You buy me Subway.
Slubway?
It's it's a lesser known franchise.
No, hey, Chipotle's still on the table, isn't it?
From all right,
the
Chipotle.
Wally Deli conversation?
Chipotle.
All right. If you win, I'll buy you Chipotle. If I win, you buy me Chipotle.
Deal. You guys want to shake on this?
I want chips and guac.
Deal.
Also.
Deal.
Shake it and bake it.
All right. Now, Kevin is on my side with the Giants here because he switched over. And Sarah, you're on.
Girls against boys.
Sure.
So then will you buy Kevin at Chipotle?
Me and Kevin are kind of not super involved here, but...
I'll buy Chipotle.
Sure, I'll buy Chipotle.
I'll buy Chipotle.
I think I'm the only one who feels really passionate about this right now. You guys could go either way. Mm-hmm. Christian probably just picked the Giants because everybody else picked the Patriots.
Sure did.
And I really think the Patriots are going to win.
And I really am excited for my new Chipotle burrito.
And I'm excited for my burrito bowl.
I just feel like, you know, people are addicted to drugs out there.
The gospel needs to be spread.
Okay, this is how it's going to go down. The football game is going to end, and I'm either going to text you, can't wait for my Chipotle, or you're going to text me, can't wait for my Chipotle. I feel like it's going to be like that.
I would never text you that.
And I'll text Sarah, what time's good for lunch for you? I'll bring the kids.
Do you want Diet Coke too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to create some buzz, some bets, you know, that way our fans out there can go, all right, well, I'm on Team Jane or I'm on Team Christian. But it seems like most people in this room are not on my team. So we'll just, you know, take it for what it is. And
wait, we have a tiebreaker. Dave. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? One for Patriots, two for Giants.
He said, what's the Super Bowl? All in case you can hear him.
Ladies and gentlemen, that ends this segment. Coming up. Hey, I'm ending the segment.
I just wanted to say, if we could have a chili cook-off, I could make really good chocolate chip cookies.
And
I was gonna give it to you, Kev.
All right, we're ending the segment, and up next we got an interview with Jordan Hogue. But we'll see who wins this weekend. And if you look out for the Ferris Bueller's commercial, I'm pretty excited. That's a favorite movie of
mine too.
Favorite movie of other people's.
Yeah.
That's the song that the commercial's playing.
Oh.
So, yeah. All right, well, stay tuned for the interview and enjoy some more Fee.
Fill the skies with a song as heaven sings along.
All right, welcome back. We are here with Jordan Hoag. Jordan, you are our Fig Garden facilities manager, correct?
That is so 100% correct.
Is that like what your official role is?
That's your title? Yeah, Fig Garden facilities manager.
Okay, and you manage the facilities at Fig Garden.
Yeah, double FM. I like to call myself that.
He used to be the Clovis facilities manager.
You kind of jumped around a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you do North, it'd be like the hat trick.
Definitely. Yes. And then office manager.
Totally. All of the above. That'd be great. Now, what exactly does your role entail? Because probably most people attending the well have no clue that we actually have a facilities manager at each campus.
When Brad himself hired me, he said I need to stay out of view. Like, nobody can ever see me. No, I'm just kidding.
If anybody sees you, you failed. I got a lot.
Stay in the shadows, Hope.
Wear black.
No, I basically just fix and build things that help everything happen.
At the Fig Garden campus.
Yeah, at the Fig Garden. Well, and I help at other campuses, but that's
so
my
stick.
So at
the Fig campus, what have you built? What's got the Jordan stamp on it?
Built? Oh, gosh. I don't know.
The sanctuary.
What have you fixed?
I've fixed a lot. Okay, this last Sunday, I installed a photo cell. A photo cell.
What's a photo cell?
It's a prison for pictures.
Yeah. It's where...
I don't know if you guys caught that joke, but that was funny.
That was quick. I installed something so that the kiosk would come on when it turns into dusk outside.
Oh,
very interesting. Yeah. Good stuff.
So collective
technology.
So basically, on a normal Sunday, you are now. I know John Getz. He works at the North Campus.
Yeah.
And he sometimes unclogs a lot of toilets. Mm-hmm. Kind of is running around doing a lot of different things. What would be your top five main responsibilities you do throughout the week?
Well, I'd say the women at Fig are particularly less aggressive with the toilets
as they are at North.
Yeah, and so that's
or Clovis.
Clovis was I had one or two over there, but. Okay. Fig's maybe one in the last, 4 months.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the women, they know
superior
a lot about
plumbing.
Just
fiber.
Flushing toilet paper and things like that. And on a Sunday, be available, start everything up, unlock things.
Okay.
Fix things that need to get fixed fast.
At Clovis, you also got rid of some rodents or bugs and things.
Well, really, that's kind of an exaggeration. I called the guy that did that.
Now
you called him quickly though, and we were very appreciative.
He's on speed dial.
For people who don't know you, Jordan, I feel like the typical facility manager guy, like you don't fit that build, in my opinion. And I think you're a little bit different than what someone would imagine as a facility guy. You're a funny guy. You love ministry. Your heart's for people, and on the side, you like to help out at the well and fix things, right?
Yeah.
But maybe, what does Jordan Hoag do on the side? Tell us a little bit about yourself outside of just the facilities. Little biography here.
A little nugget. I'd say just at the well, particularly, I'm very, human-driven type of a person.
Right.
So I like to interact with people. I'd say that God's given me a gift for encouragement in a lot of ways. And so on Sundays, I want to make sure that everybody knows that they're doing a good job. Just asking people about their weeks.
Well, you just encouraged all the women at the Fig Garden campus and their habits. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting good community there.
Yeah, good man.
And we're just being making sure that people know they're a priority to me and that I want to help them in their ministry however I can.
You're married?
I'm married, yeah.
That's pretty recent, right?
Outside of the well, yeah, I'm married. Actually, I got married in the well at the Fig Garden campus.
In the computer?
Nice. The files are in the computer?
Wow.
It's from Zoolander.
Yeah, all right. I remember.
Okay, so you got married a couple months ago.
Yeah, I did. To my beautiful wife, Jamie.
Okay.
Now Hoag, used to be McKechnie.
Okay.
I
like that you called her your wife because most people at the well call them their bride, but you're counterculture. So
swimming upstream.
For me, I stick it to the man 100% of the
time.
All right,
fair enough. So you guys got married a couple months ago at the Fig campus?
Yeah.
And what's your guys' wedding date?
October 22nd.
October
22nd.
Really
glad I answered that fast.
Good work.
Did you guys do a honeymoon?
Yeah, we went to Santa Cruz, actually.
That's right.
Place of
and
origin.
And how was that?
It was... actually really amazing. My uncle blessed us with a really generous gift.
Oh, awesome.
So we got to just live the high life.
That's the best part of the honeymoon. The
champagne of life.
Santa Cruz. Yeah. The champagne of life.
And then, so it's been 5 months now?
3 months and 8 days.
Okay. Yeah. And
things going happy anniversary. 3 months and 8 days.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah. Things going well, though? Loving it?
Yeah. She's so wonderful. Like, you just realize how weird you are as a person when you have this other person there. And, like, you just want to, you love the way you do stuff and everything you do is perfect. And then you kind of.
I totally understand.
Realize that that's ridiculous, and
you start fighting over dumb stuff like you know, when you left the cabinet open, and like, which wouldn't be a big deal, and then you leave it open, like,
it really offended
times.
That hurt me.
Yeah,
that's legitimately like upsets
you're
me
though. On the verge of tears when you bring it up. Yeah,
you left the cap.
Okay, I don't want to do this, but
it hurts.
Yeah. No. I stuff like that is like super just building for us, like all the time we're kind of just rolling through things and like pushing out just each other to be better people.
Right.
You know, we've committed to pray together every night.
Cool.
And like, we want to just make that something that like our marriage is built on. And I don't know, it's a trying but also really fun experience. She's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we just are constantly joking together. She, for Wellians, I guess, she's 100% energizer, and my persister is very high. So we butt heads, you know, cracking mm-hmm. jokes. She's always doing that. And I'm like, let's just talk. Let's get down to it.
You want to find a solution
to
all of her. Like, her jokes don't make logical sense to you. Like, well, that's not black or white.
Well, she's zinging it all the time. Yeah. Just like, woo.
I didn't know that she did that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love her even more.
She liked the candy zingers.
What?
No, those are like Hostess cupcakes.
All right, I'm just asking.
She's actually going to be a dietitian, so I don't think she'd approve of that.
Embarrassing. How's it going? Because you are also in residency.
Yeah.
How's that? Because you both are in residency. You both have to be at the North Campus at 6 a.m. How's that going?
Well, we live downtown in Fresno, so like that commute has been pretty rough. Been some tears, like mostly me.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No judgment. No judgment.
I mean, we support each other. For me, it's, you know, I grew up in the church, so I'm just, residency is constantly redefining a lot of things that I thought I knew informing of the mystery of the Old Testament and all these things. Mm-hmm. And for her, she didn't grow up in the church, so it's a lot of just kind of like, wow, like that happened? And like just stuff that she's never even heard. That's just wonderful to walk through with
her. That's an interesting concept that I haven't heard before. For somebody who hasn't heard this kind of stuff before, it's probably not as mind-blowing as it is to you. Because you've heard the same story 15 times, and the 16th time, it's like, holy moly, I had no clue. But for her, it's like, that's the first time she's hearing it, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's a totally different perspective.
Yeah. My mind is constantly just like turned upside down.
Right.
Hers is being formed. So I don't know. It's just.
No, it's two different ways
it's
to go.
It's different categories, but both of us are constantly kind of peeing ourselves a little bit.
Hey, man, you only got a couple more months.
Okay.
Hang in there, bro.
Wait for that test.
Peeing ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, let's chat about this test for a second, because I have a serious beef against this test.
Wow. All right.
And if you're listening, residency people,
it's Mike
Slater. Hear me out. All right. Because they're going to have a test here in a couple months.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
And everybody makes this test out to be the biggest thing in the entire world. Am I exaggerating here?
Yeah, if you're in residency, it is a big deal.
And I get it.
It's like the bar for residency.
It is. But if you fail this or you choose not to even take it, there's no merit at the end of it. It does not matter.
But
no,
you want to show that you woke up at 5 o'clock for the past 9 months.
And yes, you did. And you got tons of information and you consumed all this Bible.
What should happen?
No test. What's the point?
Oh,
well,
okay.
I think
people freak out.
I know.
Over
it's
this kind
of part of the fun.
Freak out. And I'm like, wow, this isn't even for a grade.
Well,
somebody's patting you on the back. And I'm all about residency. 9 months, you are consuming the Bible, take it. But the test, it bothers me.
There's things that I learned because they do make a big deal about it. And so I studied so much. And there's things that I learned and I still remember that I wouldn't have remembered if I didn't think I was going to be tested on it.
Will you do me a favor, Jordan?
No, don't fail it for him. Just do really
well. Refuse to take the test. Say, I refuse.
Dave Johnson was in residency with me, and he studied.
You just said earlier.
I don't know if I can commit to that. That's just like,
you just said earlier you do everything 100% against the man.
Well, no, this is, but there's, okay, in years past, it's been very, like, factual questions, like, how many sons did so-and-so have? You know, kind of things like that. But this year, the questions are going to be a lot more comprehensive, which I think is so much better, because I don't care if I know how many sons so-and-so had, but I do want to know, hey, yeah, he had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham.
As many as the stars.
That's right. But I would rather know, like, okay, so what truths did God want us to learn from this or this story? Like, more questions like that, even though those might be a lot more subjective and maybe not a right or wrong answer, it still makes you think about Exodus, or it makes you think about Leviticus, you know?
So you're a persister, right?
Yeah.
You're probably going to be the type of guy that wants to do really well on the test, right?
I'm a persister.
I like tests, actually.
So,
I
love tests. Jamie, she's an energizer. Uh-huh. Yeah. So the test is probably not going to mean much to her.
I don't know. Because
she might get bored. She's
kind
like
of a perfectionist. Okay.
All right. She's got a little achiever in her as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's gonna be probably one of the freakouts.
All right.
Yeah.
You can have her listen to this, and then everybody.
Yeah. Tell her not to freak out though, because it's not that big of a deal.
I'm freaking out right now.
So last thing I want to touch on, and I've been really meaning to bring this up for a really long time. We've never hashed this out, but
oh my gosh,
probably a year and a half ago we met. Uh-huh. You'd say, and where did we meet?
I don't know.
Racquetball.
Racquetball. Okay. Right.
Oh, and, an online chat racquetball. Room? No. Wait.
All right, so we met at racquetball, and what did you tell Scott after you left racquetball?
That guy has so much hair.
No, that is not what you said. You told Scott, do you remember this?
I don't.
You told Scott, that guy's really competitive. Do you remember this?
I don't.
And that has kept with me for the last year and a half. I'm bringing this up right here. I'm hashing this out. Did you really think I was competitive?
Well, now that I think about it, I felt like there was kind of everyone else, and then you just really wanted to win.
Yeah, I believe that.
I can't
believe that.
Are you
not in it for the fun?
This bothers me because I am the most, I'm the least competitive person. All I wanted to do was basically crack a ton of jokes and sound like I was really awesome because there was these FPU guys there, right?
Yeah.
And so when you walked away and you're like, that guy's super, I told Scott, I'm like, dude, that really bums me out, man. Like, I'm not competitive. And so I feel like, I hope that hasn't like,
no,
stinted our relationship.
Well, maybe I just didn't know you then.
Okay.
I feel like I know you now.
Right.
And we haven't been in any sporting events since then, but I'd say I'd do it again.
I'll beat you, but yeah. We'll do it again.
Christian doth protest too much.
Uh-huh. Well, Jordan, thanks for stopping by the Spoutcast.
I love every person here.
When Jordan showed up and Kevin's son Will showed up, he walked over to Jordan, never met him in his entire life, and just gave him a hug.
He did. He embraced me.
He did.
Will gave me a big smack on the lips one time.
Well, hey, you should re-listen to the whole episode because you're only here for a small portion, but mm-hmm. maybe you and your wife will get into the podcast. So,
oh, man.
Jamie, look it. I'm giving you a shout out. You should listen to this podcast.
You got some major shout outs.
Sarah loves Jamie.
I do. She's the best.
All right, Jordan. Well, thanks for stopping by. If you go to the Fig Garden campus, you can say hi to Jordan. He'll be kind of in the center and just saying what's up to people, installing things all over the place. Is that
a beard? Yeah, beard and curly hair.
Yeah, beard and curly hair.
Describe me. All right, gentlemen.
Up next, we got some announcements, and then we'll close out the show.
right, welcome back. We have some announcements here to close out the show. Next week, the 5 and the 7 o'clock evening services are canceled because of the Super Bowl. So use this time to invite your friends, family, neighbors over to have some good time together, some good healthy competition, eat some good hot wings and chili.
Would you consider my competition with Jane healthy?
Sure.
I think it's healthy.
Yeah. All right. I think
feel
so too.
Good.
Academy is still going on if you want to join us. Monday nights at 6:15 at the North Camp. North Campus.
I have one big announcement.
Okay,
okay,
go ahead,
wait
Christian.
A second. Time out. She wasn't done.
Oh.
No, you looked at me. You were passing the ball off to me.
I'm, no, she never
yes, she was.
The ball.
Sarah, you were passing the ball, weren't you?
No, Christian.
Do you have any other announcements?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Were you passing the ball?
I was.
All right.
I
thank
was
you.
Passing the ball.
I got the eyeball cue.
I
Kevin?
Did. I did.
What?
I was. I'm trying to be
all
honest.
Right. So here's my announcement is that many people who listen to the show or don't listen to the show or whatever, there is a program out there called Instagram. Have you heard of Instagram?
Yeah, there's people in the world. And have
drugs.
I have not heard of Instagram.
People
yet.
Of Egypt.
There's a program out there called Instagram, and Instagram is this basically a social networking app on the iPhone that you take photos and
photo app.
Yeah, it's a photo app. And one of the things is that we've been asked in the past, you guys have tried to get me to do it, is taking pictures of our guests each week, having a photo each week. So I thought it'd be fun to Instagram a photo. And so now the Spoutcast has an Instagram, and it's just at the Spoutcast. And it'll just tie into our Twitter feed. So go to twitter.com/thespoutcast or facebook.com/spoutcast. What?
You ever look at your own eyeball in a mirror?
I've never once done that.
I have.
It's crazy.
It's weird.
Kevin, derail the show, buddy. You're going to get this seat replaced, all right?
No, you're not going to replace Kevin.
All right.
Seriously,
so
you should try it.
Check out the Instagram and I'm done.
Hey, we're
check
ready.
Out Instagram.
I'll close it. I'll close it. Hey, guys, as always, we appreciate you tuning in to the Spoutcast. Mm.
Don't forget about the email address and stuff.
Don't forget about the email address and stuff. We'll see you next week. This is a Spout, and we are out. Go Pates!